Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to all the Blog Talk Radio. And all the YouTubers that are not YouTubing yet. There you are. Good evening, YouTube. It is good to have all ye all with us.
Amen.
Oh, I'm in the wrong browser. That's what happened. That is what happened. But it'll be all right. Everybody just pause for a second. They're gonna make me do a little bit more here. So all we gotta do is just a couple clicks.
So happy November 1st to everyone.
Happy November 1st. You should have been here for the pregame show because Sunday and Phyllis were talking and I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No, for each of you that come are part of the program, we welcome you. Come and be a part of the pregame show.
And it is nice, Sunday. We love it.
Yeah, we enjoy talking. And they did a good job of having conversation while I was eating supper. So
yeah,
they did. They say supper is always more delicious if you can have conversation around it. So they were conversating and I was eating.
Yeah, it looked pretty good, whatever it was.
Oh, it was just delicious. It was amazing. But Sister Leanne is a good cook. And I have, when I step on the scale, I can prove to you that she's a good cook. You don't even have to take it by faith. It's all by sight. You can look right down and see it. All right, looks like YouTube's up. Let's see, is this guy going to do a bunch of talking? Nope, there we go. Muted him. All right. Blog Talk Radio is up, and YouTube is up. And we're going to talk about tonight, add to your faith. And we're working tonight out of same verses we've been working, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. And so it's just going to be a good time of sharing the word of God. And think about it. We are almost one full day done with November already. These next 30 days are going to go fly. When's Thanksgiving this year?
It's, oh, my goodness, yeah.
28th or something. Thanks to the giving. Hopefully you've been keeping track of what's going on in Israel. If you haven't, we recommend that you...
The 23rd.
The 23rd?
3 weeks,
yep. No.
Yep.
It would be the 30th.
23rd, Thanksgiving.
The fourth Thursday is the 23rd. Yep. That's a early Thanksgiving.
It is.
That's like way early.
And I'm going to be 59 the day before.
Come on.
My goodness.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leanne. Happy birthday to you. I know if I don't sing it right now that on that night, it's not going to get sung. Anyways, you might not be used to singing happy birthday like that. I don't always do this, but I'm going to do it tonight. Because I'm always interested in what these four brethren have to say. And I didn't realize this was here, because I haven't been on the internet much today. But we've got Gene, Brother Gene, and Brother Lance and Brother Prophet out of Nebraska and that other guy, and they're talking about the remnant and the end time war. And I have a good word to speak tonight, but I want to keep us abreast of the facts. So everybody just hang on to your hat, man. We're going to get going. Somebody post live on YouTube in the family thread so that all the folks know to show up over there.
I'm ready to do that right now. I'm working on it.
All right.
Has anyone heard from Brother Roger?
Brother Roger, we miss you. We don't know where you are, but we want to know where you are. And so we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that you present yourself tonight so we know where you are. Hallelujah. All right, let's shut a few things off here. Get all that stuff out of the way. Goodness sakes, all right. Got all kinds of stuff open here. And we're still going. And we're still going. All right. There it is there. And let's go back over here. And let's go like this. And there it is. So we're going to just jump right in and get this off. Here's Flashpoint from the Victory Channel with Brother Gene. All right, almost there. Share the screen. Start the broadcast. The broadcast is starting. The broadcast is starting. It has now begun.
Looking for truth and news all in the spirit of faith? Well, don't forget to click the subscribe button and hit the bell icon to stay connected. Not a part of the Flashpoint Army? Sign up for the latest email updates at govictory.com/FP signup and join us as we stand for truth and freedom. Brother Lance, how are you tonight, sir?
Oh, right.
Reformation Day. What do you think?
Well, I think we ought to really step back and take a bigger look at what a reformation is. Martin Luther came against the institution of the Catholic Church. We talk reformation. Let's be real specific. Reformation is when God raises up a challenge to the controlling powers of an institution. You're seeing it start now in government with a change in the Speaker of the House. You're going to start to see it more in this election cycle. We have to literally change the leadership in the institutions. Reformation transforms institutions the same way that revival transforms individuals. And we pray for revival. We're praying for God to send a spiritual awakening so that America can change the institutions in academia that are all radical Hamas, PLO, protesting units right now. Government, which is $35 trillion worth of debt and $2 trillion a year overspending. These are the things that have to practically be reformed or we're just talking. So the church has to recognize revival is to change the institutions. We have to really take this thing more seriously. Reform or we're just talking. So the church has to recognize revival is to change the institutions. We have to really take this thing more seriously.
Let me show you guys, I don't know if you guys have probably all seen it, but you at home, you need to see what Prime Minister Netanyahu had to say about a ceasefire. Watch this.
I want to make clear Israel's position regarding a ceasefire. Just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attack of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism, to surrender to barbarism. That will not happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that there is a time for peace and a time for war.
Yeah.
This is a time for war, a war for our common future. Today, we draw a line between the forces of civilization and the forces of barbarism. It is a time for everyone to decide where they stand. Israel will stand against the forces of barbarism until victory. I hope and pray that civilized nations everywhere will back this fight, because Israel's fight is your fight. Because if Hamas and Iran's axis of evil win, you will be their next target.
Yeah.
That's why Israel's victory will be your victory. But make no mistake, regardless of who stands with Israel, Israel will fight until this battle is won.
All right, Lance, you heard Barry. He didn't waffle a bit there on Netanyahu, his speech about no ceasefire. It's actually been amazing to me on the world stage how many are not just saying, you know, free Palestine, when they were the ones that fired, the Hamas did.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of this? Do you think he should be taking a more central role here, or do you think he's going to have to take this place?
So let's talk about this in the light of this Reformation discussion. Reform can only happen when an institution is capable of being changed. So the Catholic Church was resisting reform. So a new government or a new religious movement started. That was the Protestant movement. You can't reform the Ku Klux Klan. You have to destroy it. You can't reform the Nazi Party. You have to destroy it.
Amen.
What we have to understand is Reformation takes two manifestations. One is when you go into something that can be fixed and you fix it. The other is when God sovereignly chooses to take out something because it will not be reformed. Hamas is like the KKK or the Nazi Party. Their very charter is born out of a commitment to destroying Jews. Therefore, all talk about a two-state solution or learning how to peacefully coexist with Hamas is an absurdity, because you're dealing with an organization that has to be destroyed. It cannot be reformed.
Amen.
It has to be replaced. So this is a great object lesson on where Reformation goes. You're seeing the need for Israel to reform its policy with Hamas and the Gaza Strip, because they can't peacefully coexist. And all the international pressure, which is going to be immense, it's going to increase incredibly, as you're seeing manipulated footage going out through media. You're going to see Egypt and Syria. You're going to see Jordan and the Arab oil emirates under incredible pressure, because the street strife that's going to get stirred up by Arab sentiment as they're watching Israel have to deal with Hamas, it's going to create a boiling point. And that's the part we really have to pray about, that it doesn't spill over into regional entanglement, because they're not getting flashpoint perspective. They're not getting the U.S. perspective, Gene. They're getting manipulated Arab, Al Jazeera media that is only focusing on the oppression of the Gaza Arabs and Muslims under the heel of the tyranny of Israel. So this is a really dangerous time if you don't realize Hamas has to be uprooted.
Yeah.
Rick Green, I'll give you a chance to comment on that. You think there's opportunity for I know he's saying no two-state solution. How is, if you could look into the future, how would you say Netanyahu can come to peace anyway, other than what Lance just said, and they've said about really annihilation of Hamas?
Yeah, everything Lance said, 100% spot on. Two quick thoughts on Israel, and then one on the context of Reformation, as Lance was saying. You know, first of all, the whole concern I'm hearing from some folks that are typically aligned with us about all this is they're worried about this Israeli situation in the context of Ukraine. In other words, they don't want to just go back into war. They don't want to deal with, you know, all of the problems. They don't want to just send more money because of what happened with Ukraine. So they got American people have a bad taste in their mouth because of the Ukraine funding that's just been insane. Thankfully, the Speaker of the House has separated the two. I hope it remains that way, and we can fund and help Israel without it being tied to Ukrainian funding, which is what, of course, Joe Biden wants to do. And so that's the one thing, just for those people that are concerned about us standing with Israel and them just not wanting to be involved in another conflict. We must stand with Israel. We can do this without our own boots on the ground. We just need to get out of their way, let them do what they need to do, but we do need to support them financially. And it looks like Speaker Johnson, that's exactly the direction he's going to take. And then in the context of Reformation, this has given us an opportunity in America. This has revealed the rot on the college campuses across this country, as we see these pro-Hamas rallies on college campuses. And so that other part of Ecclesiastes, this is a time for planting. It's a time for pulling up the weeds on these college campuses and a time for planting truth in new education reformation, exactly what Lance was saying. We need to absolutely reform. This is one of the many mountains. We need to reform education, and the whole Israel situation has given us an opportunity to do that. We talked about it last week, these billionaires that are pulling their money out of these rotten universities that have been teaching this poison that would cause kids to take to the streets and believe they're being righteous in supporting the murder that Hamas has done, gives us an opportunity to reform education. And we're seeing it with school choice all over the country is passing in legislature after legislature, bringing competition into education. We're seeing it with Christian universities having the opportunity to fill that gap where these secular universities have poisoned minds. Parents are starting to wake up and not send their money and their kids to these schools. So that part of the Reformation is, I think, very exciting to see happen right now.
It has. It has absolutely begun in that regard. And so we are going to see that happen. You know, I think, and you were talking about Speaker Johnson, he actually suggested taking funding from the IRS and sending that to Israel, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
As well as everybody watching me tonight, probably. All right, let's talk about Putin. Let's go to Moscow. What does he have to say? Putin says no justification for Israel killing thousands of innocent civilians. Says he cried watching the kids covered with blood as the ruling elites of the U.S. and its satellites are behind the tragedy of the Palestinians. Ah, okay. Well, let me let you see it. Read the screen. Let's hear it from him himself.
Начался нынешний виток ближневосточного кризиса с террористической атаки в отношении мирных граждан Израиля и других стран на территории этого государства. Мы видим и то, что вместо наказания преступников и террористов, к сожалению, стали мстить по принципу коллективной ответственности. Страшные события, которые сейчас происходят в секторе Газа, когда без разбора уничтожают сотни тысяч ни в чем не повинных людей, которым просто некуда бежать.
All right, so, you know, Pastor Hank, you see him talking there. The thing I want you to talk about and refer to is he said hundreds of thousands of deaths. Well, that's totally not what we're hearing. People have inflated it up to 5,000 deaths. Not that any number is a good number, but it's much less than 5,000. Nowhere near hundreds of thousands of deaths. On the world stage, what do you see here, Captain Pastor Hank?
Well, I think, first of all, whenever it comes to war, there's always going to be propaganda that goes with it. That's how they can continue to carry the narrative to keep, you know, a war going. But I think what President Putin needs to look at is what would he have done if this would have been in Russia to his people?
Yeah.
How would he respond? What side would he take?
Nuclear.
And what would be his action and reaction? But I think what we have to understand, and to Lance's point, there is something that is happening, not just in Israel, not just in Ukraine, but it's happening in the world, and it's reformation, and it's God's hand in the earth bringing reset and reversal, or you could say reforming. And reformation requires something, and that is this. It's the Jeremiah 1:10 ratio. It says that God sets the prophet Jeremiah to root out, overthrow, tear down, and to destroy. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing enemies. We're seeing those terroristic organizations that are, you know, preying on the innocent. They're being taken out by the justice of God, and it's going to continue to happen. But also it says in Jeremiah 1:10, and here's the good part. If we stay with the reforming hand and act of God, we will see a building and a planting. We will see a restoration. We got to go back, if I could say this very quickly, to Netanyahu's statement. He said, listen, it's time to take a side and to determine what side you're on. In Numbers chapter 16, they had to do the same thing. God required Moses to call a nation to order and say, are you on the Lord's side? And I tell you, there's something that is happening right now in the earth where God is looking at the earth. He's looking at those in the earth, and he's saying, are you going to side with evil? You're going to side with darkness? You're going to side with perversion and immorality? Are you going to side with insanity? Are you going to side with what is moral and right and good and wholesome? And if you side with that, you're going to get the blessing of God. So I think ultimately we're going to see the goodness of God prevail in all of this. Light is going to overcome darkness. But it isn't going to be without war. It isn't going to be without turmoil. And it isn't going to be without sometimes looking at things and seeing the innocent caught in the crossfires of it. But ultimately, reformation, there's something also that's required. And this is what I want to speak to you, Flashpoint Army. It is the remnant. The remnant will always make the difference in reformation. It requires strong leaders and willing people. And sometimes it's not, most of the time, it's not the masses when a reform starts, but eventually it will reach the masses. But it requires the remnant to do their part.
Yeah, amen. And then we're doing our part. I know you're doing your part at home. Good word there, Pastor Hank. Let me show you this, Lance. Katie Pavlich posts, the Gaza Ministry of Health is run by Hamas, a terrorist organization, so we can't take anything they say at face value. That's where all those crazy numbers are coming from. It's all over the board. We see 5,000, 8,000, hundreds of thousands. We've got a lot of mystery going on here.
Well, I think Hank said the right word. It's propaganda. I want to talk for a second about what Vladimir Putin's actually doing. What Putin is doing is he is positioning himself and Russia, which is really, for us that are biblical, prophetic people, he's positioning Russia in alliance with the growing Arab agitation against the Jewish people. And he's making a calculus here. He's saying he's really against the United States. So whatever the United States is for, he's against. It's kind of like Democrats are against everything Trump does. So even if Trump's got a better policy, they're against it because it's Trump. What Putin is saying there is disingenuous for a former KGB guy who knows the real world.
Yeah.
Hamas has built tunnels and infrastructure under mosques and hospitals. They're actually using human beings as shields, children as protection. They're using the mosques and the hospitals as central locations, which they're mobilizing from, because they know that if Israel goes against those targets, they're going to create an incendiary backlash for people like Putin, who will say, I weep over the loss of civilian life. No, you don't. As a KGB guy, you know the civilians are only getting hurt because Hamas is keeping them there, and he of all people should be able to say it's a very cynical situation that Hamas is setting up the people of Gaza to become casualties for propaganda purposes.
So true. In fact, they're still showing that the hospital was bombed. I forget, was it Tlaib that's still posted out there? Has it changed her post? Fake news that Israel has bombed this hospital when it was their own that blew up in the parking lot. All right, let me show you some what's going on here at home. And Rick, this has been the surprising thing. I know we talk about the universities and what they've done, but look at some of this footage. We'll talk over here, just B-roll. New York City Grand Central. Look at the people. These are people that are pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, really. When you see all of these all across America, we're seeing riots, protests, even world stage. Rick, what's going on in America?
Man, it's a combination, you know. Of course, one, it's the poison that's been poured into the kids, but it's also the poison that's come across the border. So a lot of this is led by those that we've allowed into our country. We've watched that happen in Europe. There's a lot of European nations in real trouble right now because of the immigration policies, and we're now seeing that same evidence here. And, you know, think about the lies that these kids have been told in the schools. It's not just, you know, Putin that's spreading those lies. It's the professors on the college campuses saying the exact same thing. What was the phrase that Putin used there was, collective responsibility, acting as if Israel is just bombing indiscriminately into Palestine. They're just throwing the bombs over the border the way Hamas did to Israel, which is, of course, not true. They're doing everything they can to save civilian lives and only go after the military targets, and it's Hamas that's hiding, as we've already said, hiding those military targets behind the hospitals and everything else. So this is just a combination of all of those lies. These kids have believed this stuff.
Right.
They actually think Israel's the bad guys. And so, again, we have to draw that distinction and constantly show. And it's another reason it's so shameful what Biden did and, frankly, McCarthy and a bunch of Republicans and Democrats both trying to make it look like Ukraine was such the good guys against the bad guys when really you had two corrupt nations here, and we've been sending all these hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. And so the American appetite for actually helping the good guys and having moral clarity to see the difference between the good guys and the bad guys, it's a mess out there. Last thing I'll say is on the remnant thing that Hank was talking about, 100% right. And think about it. Martin Luther was a remnant of one. He had a remnant of one guy willing to stand up and speak truth and look at what it led to. We've got a flashpoint army across the nation, a remnant
right.
that can stand up and be force multipliers across the community. So this Reformation Day is a great day to be encouraged to be a voice of truth and take what you're learning and hearing here on Flashpoint and
that's
go
right.
spread that among your friends and family.
Now, you may or may not have seen this, Pastor Hank, but I want to show you what it wasn't just New York City. Look at what was happening, protests around the world. Look at London. This is what's going on in London. You know, this has just been staggering. But, you know, when I look at the number, the sheer number of people here, Pastor Hank, this is what you're looking at, a much more open border the UK has had to allow these people to come across the border. So this is the result of that seed that's been planted. And they'll keep showing it. But Pastor Hank, I wanted you to comment on all of that.
Well, to your point, Pastor Dean, look how long the UK has been letting just anyone, so to speak, into their country. And it, like you said, this is the result of it. And it's very dangerous. And, you know, the one thing that I've noticed is this spirit that is this anti-Semitism spirit that, you know, we saw with Nazi Germany. It
yeah.
seems like it keeps revisiting itself
yeah.
in different generations where it seems like always Israel is at fault. Doesn't matter that, you know, there's a terroristic, barbaric attack, you know, to their people and to their country. Israel ultimately is going to get the blame because it's a spirit that is trying to yeah. drive that narrative. But, you know, I was reading something the other day that really hit me. And you all remember the story when David and his mighty men were riding back and they could tell that something was different. They could smell the smell of smoke because something was on fire. They could sense that something was wrong because the clouds was filled with the smoke. And they rode into their hometown Ziklag and they realized that there was a terroristic act that took place in their own city, their own place of dwelling,
yeah.
and that was their town was burned to fire. Watch this. Their children and their wives were taken captive by the enemy. And it was so bad that the men lifted up their voices and they began to weep. And where they couldn't weep anymore, the Bible says. And at one point they tried to, you know, blame David and stone him. And David did something. And here's what God's response was. And it's to Lance's point. You can't replace this when you deal with the Nazi Germany and Hamas and these terrorist organizations. You can't reform them. You have to eradicate them. And
yeah.
God said to David, a scriptural example, he said, David, there's a terroristic act that took place, but here's the deal. You have to pursue. You have to overtake. And if you do it, you're going to eradicate it, and without fail, you're going to recover all. And I think the end result is always going to be better than the process, obviously, of war. But you got to follow God, and you got to follow his instructions. And I think no matter how much they protest, the hand of God is in this to bring about a certain reform in the earth that ultimately is going to be beneficial even for those who are of Palestine. I believe that God is going to come and eradicate this kind of evil. And bring a reform today.
Let me show you this, Lance, and we'll kind of start to wrap up this section for the break. In case you missed it today, speaking at a massive pro-Palestine rally, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, said, we can come at any night unexpectedly. The crowd chanted, Turkish military to Gaza. Israel has already pulled their ambassador. And there's footage from Turkey. I mean, I would see this, Lance, just the sheer numbers of people. What happened, Lance? I mean, people at home are like me going, since when, what was it that caused everybody to turn on Israel? Where did this happen?
Well, you know, this is shouldn't be a surprise to us because Erdogan, as the president of Turkey, has longed to become, and this is really a weird statement to make, but he has wanted to become like the Antichrist deliverer for the Arab world. He has longed, and he's made his statements consistently, he longs for the caliphate, and he longs for the return of a unified Sunni and Shiite coalition where they settle their religious differences, the Saudis and Iran, and they come together in unity as a powerful force. This is like an end time scenario. I don't want us to lose the danger of the moment, because the Arab nations, with guys like this in Turkey, if they start to flame and catch the wave of populist Muslim hatred of Israel, then you're going to start to see these differences that are religious between them dissolve as they begin to try to form a coalition or a caliphate, a unified Islamic world. You know, there's a lot of speculation that the Antichrist actually comes out of Syria, if you go into our end time prophecy teaching, that it's part of the former Roman Empire that rises up again. And this is the kind of spirit we need to discern. And if you want to pray with real focus, pray that there is a breaking up of the coalition of unity amongst this violent, militant Islamic spirit that would try to link Iran and Turkey into engaging in what's happening as the Gaza thing goes on, because this is not going to stop quickly. You know, this is door to door, and Israel is being careful, and therefore it gets longer. If it was a short process, we could handle it. But this is going to go on, and the danger is it could become nations coming together in coalition against Israel. Israel can handle Hezbollah in the north. They can handle Hamas in Gaza. What they have a problem with is Turkey and then Egypt getting involved, and Syria and the Saudis throwing in the towel and saying, we can't fight. We don't want an Arab Spring rising up in our own borders. So in a sense, we have to pray that this becomes a bounded experience where Israel can recover safety in the Gaza area without other nations getting involved.
All right, so good. Pastor Hank, let's pray about this before we go to the break, because I don't want to leave this segment out there hanging. I mean, I've got other footage of what happened at that Russian airport,
sure.
You know, people going after the Jews. But Pastor Hank, would you pray for us? Let's pray for these people.
Father, even as Lance was speaking, there is truth and there was wisdom and there was utterance that came from his lips that I believe that you heard. And the things that he even said, God, I'm asking for your divine intervention to break up any satanic gathering and coordinating of certain things that would bring the Middle East and those nations to battle, to confrontation. Holy Spirit, you are the restraining force in the earth, including, as the scripture says, the Antichrist and even the Antichrist spirit. So Spirit of Truth, Spirit of God, we pray for your restraint to come now against that which the enemy would seek to do, to steal, to kill, to destroy, and to preempt that which he would desire to do that would bring bloodshed across the earth. God, we are asking you, according to Psalm 121, the God that doesn't sleep, that God, you would bring about a preservation, a protection among the earth and among those nations, that you, God, would keep them from coming forth now with hatred, with evil, and with the acts of war, and you would restrain and bring a peace, and God, bring, I pray, a preservation that only you can do, that is not by our might or power, but God, it's by you, the Spirit of the living God. We trust you, and we, the remnant, cry out. Therefore, we ask you to move divinely and bring deliverance, as you did in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you did in the days when you closed the mouths of the lions with Daniel, that in every case, there was an intervention of God that superseded the expectation and outcome. And we are asking you, God, to move now by your Spirit and by your glory in only a way that you can do, that you would receive the honor.
Stop him. Oh, you did. We did.
Hey, what happened?
We're not sure. Hold on for just a second.
Oh, it's here. Ran out of juice.
I didn't do it.
Oh.
I ran out of juice.
Here we go.
That was a good program, too.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear more.
Don't worry, the juice is coming. There's the apple.
Okay.
The apple's growing on the tree.
It's a good prayer.
The apple is growing on the tree. All right. Are we in Zoom? We're almost back. That's a lot of clicking, but we got there. Well, I love to hear what these guys are saying to us because they're very experienced in
knowing what's going on and how to pray for it.
All right.
Hey, Flashpoint Army, are you looking for truth and new
wave of populist Muslim hatred of Israel? Then you're going to start to see these differences that are religious between them dissolve as they begin to try to form a coalition or a caliphate, a unified Islamic world. You know, there's a lot of speculation that the Antichrist actually comes out of Syria. If you go into our end time prophecy teaching, that it's part of the former Roman Empire that rises up again. And this is the kind of spirit we need to discern. And if you want to pray with real focus, pray that there is a breaking up of the coalition of unity amongst this violent, militant Islamic spirit that would try to link Iran and Turkey into engaging in what's happening as the Gaza thing goes on, because this is not going to stop quickly. You know, this is door to door, and Israel is being careful, and therefore it gets longer. If it was a short process, we could handle it. But this is going to go on, and the danger is it could become nations coming together in coalition against Israel. Israel can handle Hezbollah in the north. They can handle Hamas in Gaza. What they'll have a problem with is Turkey and Egypt getting involved. And Syria and the Saudis throwing in the towel and saying, we can't fight. We don't want an Arab Spring rising up in our own borders. So in a sense, we have to pray that this becomes a bounded experience where Israel can recover safety in the Gaza area without other nations getting involved.
All right, so good. Pastor Hank, let's pray about this before we go to the break, because I don't want to leave this segment out there hanging. I mean, I've got other footage of what happened at that Russian airport, you know, people going after the Jews. But Pastor Hank, would you pray for us? Let's pray for these people.
Father, even as Lance was speaking, there is truth and there was wisdom and there was utterance that came from his lips that I believe that you heard.
Yes. Yes.
And the things that he even said, God, I'm asking for your divine intervention to break up any satanic gathering and coordinating of certain things that would bring the Middle East and those nations to battle, to confrontation. Holy Spirit, you are the restraining force in the earth, including, as the scripture says, the Antichrist and even the Antichrist spirit. So Spirit of Truth, Spirit of God, we pray for your restraint to come now against that which the enemy would seek to do, to steal, to kill, to destroy, and to preempt that which he would desire to do that would bring bloodshed across the earth. God, we are asking you, according to Psalm 121, the God that doesn't sleep, that God, you would bring about a preservation, a protection among the earth and among those nations.
Yes.
That you, God, would keep them from coming forth now with hatred, with evil, and with the acts of war. And you would restrain and bring a peace. And God, bring, I pray, a preservation that only you can do. That is not by our might or power, but God, it's by you, the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
We trust you, and we, the remnant, cry out. Therefore, we ask you to move divinely and bring deliverance as
as you did in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you did in the days when you closed the mouths of the lions with Daniel,
that in every case,
there was an intervention of God that superseded the expectation and outcome. And we are asking you, God, to move now by your spirit and by your glory in only a way that you can do, that you would receive the honor in Yeshua's name. Amen.
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 I'm going to make it so you're going to reach the promised land.
Amen.
Give God a praise and a thank you. Come
on, let's
stop
this
guy. Stand up and give him
He's going
praise.
Right here. There we go. Going to reach the promised land. That's what Dr. Winston said. I'm going to make it so that you reach the promised land. All right. Looks like we're back. Now, it's not like we didn't already know pretty much everything they just said. But I'm glad I turned it on because revival's for the human. Reformation is for the institution. That's a powerful statement. Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Lance Wallnau, for that great, powerful statement. Our title tonight is Add to Your Faith. And we've been preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm probably not going to get to that because I want to keep talking about what's going on right here, right now. You and I are in a place of history that you may have never seen. Now, some of those that are World War II age people, you might could remember some of it. Most of the people, it's very interesting. I heard Amir say today that there are actually some Holocaust survivors that are taken captive by Hamas.
Wow.
How horrible is that?
I've seen a couple of them.
That they've survived the atrocities of the Holocaust and now have been taken captive again. That's just horrendous. And we call for the vindication of Almighty God in these situations. Now, if I knew how to find it, but as it was happening, I was driving, so I wasn't able to find it. But Amir today gave an update, and at the end, he talked about the wars out of the Bible.
It's
what?
It's up. Oh, it's like the last YouTube thing on your actually, if you open up a new YouTube tab, it's like the first screen.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and watch an hour and 16 minutes of him talking about the war.
Okay.
Of course, there is a, unless he's got one of them chat things on here. Does he have one of those? Down, save, no, down, sit down, height. Yeah, transcript. There it is right there. I'll find it real quick. Transcript. Show the transcript. There you go. Yeah, there we go. Well, yeah, isn't it something the day that we live? You just got to love this day that we live. You know, well, now that we've pulled this up, I'm not going to search that up. I'll go back. I'm going for this. But the one leader of Hamas just said, we don't care about the people. We don't care about the Gazans. The Gazans are just tank fodder. They're like, all we care about is that the Jews are annihilated. That's all we care about. And it doesn't matter how long it takes for that to happen. We just don't care. The man literally said it. And, these are war crimes. These are literal war crimes. Now, let's see. Let's go. Let's go right out here. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good right there. Now, 109. Let me pull it up here. Now, I want, because she talks in here about the, where we are in history, and this is not Psalm 83, but this is something else. Well, where did it go? All right. There we go. I got it now. Getting closer. I thought today when I was watching this driving down the road, this would be a good thing to be to share tonight, but I didn't want to share the whole thing. But let's just listen to this. This is Amir today. This is an update that Amir did today. Look at this. 154,000 views already today.
Wow.
Since like 3 o'clock. 6 hours ago. Thank you, Father, for Brother Amir. Here we go.
The description is of wars that already happened, because it mentions Egypt and it mentions Jordan and it doesn't mention Yemen.
Okay.
So it doesn't mention Turkey or everything. 100 times more if we intended to kill civilians. But we're telling them to leave. We're showing them where to leave. We're allowing humanitarian aid to come through the Rafah crossing, because we don't want to kill the uninvolved and civilians, but there are casualties because of Hamas. That's the address to the whole thing that is going on right now. And I will conclude. I'm not going to conclude, because I'm going to just tell you this, and it's very important that you understand this. It's diabolic by nature. It's demonic. It's satanic. And it's something that you cannot understand unless you put your spiritual glasses. And unless you understand that it is the same spirit of Pharaoh, same spirit of the Amalekites, it's the same spirit of the Babylonians, it's a spirit of let's kill them, annihilate them, destroy them. And this is why many times people mistakenly think that Psalm 83 is what is going on right now. Psalm 83. Let me make it very clear. Psalm 83 is two things. It's a spirit, and it's also a description of a war. The spirit of let us kill them is the spirit of ever since we were there. It's the whole description. It goes back to the time we became a nation. But the description is of wars that already happened, because it mentions Egypt, and it mentions Jordan, and it doesn't mention Yemen. So it doesn't mention Turkey or everything. So it fits to what we had in 1948, what we had in 1967. Right now, Israel is not fighting Lebanon or Yemen. We're fighting the Houthis and the Hezbollah. We're fighting Hamas. We're not fighting a country. We're fighting proxies of Iran. That's where we are. That's why that psalm is not what we see now. Not every time that Israel is attacked from Iran, this is it. You have to look at what the psalm is mentioning and then ask yourself, are these the exact things that are described in the psalm? And it's not. I believe that if anything, and I've said that before, we're getting closer and closer to the Ezekiel war, because we can clearly see that Israel and Russia are no longer friends. Israel and Turkey are no longer friends. Israel and Iran are definitely not friends. And you can clearly see that the Saudis on our side, Emiratis and Bahrainis on our side, Sheba and Dedan, the West European countries and America is on our side. And definitely, this is the map of the Ezekiel war. Now, why is it that Ezekiel war is not yet happening? Because in the Ezekiel description in chapter 38, no countries are helping Israel. At the moment, America is here. You have American troops on the ground. You have American carriers in the sea and American fighter jets in the skies. So I would say, and still Damascus is standing. So we're not there yet, but we're definitely getting closer and closer. In the meantime, we have to remember, God is in control. He's the keeper of Israel. Israel is not going anywhere. He brought us back here not to uproot us once again. I have no doubt that we will be victorious, but I want to remind you, this is not the end of the anti-Israel campaign. We might be victorious, then we'll have the Ezekiel war. Then we might be victorious, and then the Antichrist will rise. And after 3.5 years, he will persecute us as the great tribulation in Jacob's trouble. Only when the Prince of Peace will have his feet standing on Mount of Olives, and his people look at him when they pierce, and they will acknowledge him, repent, and accept him. Because he said, I will not come back again, Jerusalem, until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So our prayer is that more and more Israelis will understand who their Messiah is, so they will not have to go through all the future persecution. But even throughout the future persecution, God will always keep that remnant for himself. And then, as Romans 11 says, all Israel will be saved. Keep praying for the people of Israel. Keep praying for the nation. Keep praying for the leaders. And keep praying for a swift victory and for the enemy to be scattered. Thank you for all of this. I'm apologizing for some technical problems. This is when you have an improvised studio in your own house using a camera that you normally don't use. Again, we are going to have a studio, God willing, in a few months, not far from here, and it will be much better. Thank you again. Let me pray the Aaronic blessing upon you. Yerechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yechuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. B'shem Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Shalom. And join the Telegram channel. It's the only way to stay updated with everything that goes on. This is how you can do it. Thank you. God bless you and shalom.
Thank you. And God bless you. And shalom to you, my friend. I'm calling him my friend, and I've never even shaken his hand. But, you know, we've been around Brother Amir enough that we consider him our friend. And, you know, it's interesting how God puts people together. You know, I never knew anything about Dutch sheets. And I always wanted to be a prayer warrior, didn't know anything about prayer. But here we are, having now established and operated an hour and a half of prayer a day for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, to some of you, that might not be any too big of a situation, but I'm gonna tell you, to me, that almost seemed like that was impossible. Hold on. There you go, Scott, Cheryl, welcome. Sunday Geyser, welcome. Richard Miller, don't know who you are, welcome. Roger Oxy, welcome. All of our friends on YouTube that we haven't seen. Mary Pasterek, show up on YouTube tonight. And when you come, bring Chris Davis with you, all right? Hallelujah. Now, if their names pop up, no boy freaking run. Just, you know, like, no, that was really good. You got an angel sitting over there on their computer going, watch this.
Her Mary's sister,
yeah. And just so you know, Mary sister, we love Mary. And if you pull that on us, we're all going to sit here and laugh real good, all right? Now, so this is what I want to do. We've done this several times, but let's just do it again. Because if we don't hear what the word says, then we have to listen to a man and believe what he says. Right? So let's just read this, all right? Let's go. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, and we're just going to read this. And we'll change the title to End Times, you know. I mean, here's the reality, guys. It is really, it's not an ecclesiastical, philosophical statement that I'm getting ready to make. Jesus can literally come any minute. I mean, that's not, there was a period of time when I was a kid that you know, Jesus is coming to be ready, but it's out there a ways. It ain't out there a ways right now, man. All that's got to happen is Russia say, that's it, we're going in and bring Turkey and Syria and Lebanon and Iran with him, and it's done, and the rapture happens, and we are one dumb move of a dumb politician away from that.
You know, I was going to mention, too, when he was talking about all of these other countries, Yemen is involved now, too. And they're like over 1,000 miles away, and they're planning on shooting rockets.
And they're about this long.
Yeah.
And the nature and the whole thing of the world.
Yep. So this is,
but nature, but Yemen is the one that hit our one battleship and
yeah.
killed our troops. So.
Yeah.
Just because you have land doesn't make you intelligent. Like Andrew Womack says, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Pretty dumb.
Pretty dumb.
And pretty, I mean, dumb and pretty. Love, could you get me some coffee? Because that's cold.
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Thank you. Ezekiel 36, let's just read it. Here we go. Ready? On your mark? Now get a Bible and follow along. If you don't have nothing else, download eSword onto your phone, or right now on your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever you got, go to, you don't have a Bible close, go to BibleGateway.com, and then when you get to Bible Gateway, it will show you how to there it is. It will show you how to find, I'll just share my screen. This is BibleGateway.com on my computer. Now, it might look a little different on your phone, but this is BibleGateway.com. It's real easy. BibleGateway, BibleGateway.com. All right? And for less than $5 a month, gain access to 50 premium resources to enhance your study of the scripture. Not right now. And we're going to go to, I'm going to type it in right here, Ezekiel, and go 36. And there it is. And it's got the New International, the Nearly Inspired version. I wouldn't read that version if I were you. They left way too much of the Bible out to read that one. All right, so here it is. And you'll be able to follow along. You might even be able to highlight. I don't know. But you probably need to. Yeah, you can highlight. And all right, you have to be logged in. I am not logging in because I like my eSword. So you got Bible Gateway, And so that's right there on the internet, anytime you have internet. And then your eSword is e-sword.net. And that's a great app to have on your phone. That's on my iPhone and on on Android, it is my sword, I believe, like Brother Dan said. Mm-hmm. Right? We're going to Ezekiel chapter 36. There they are, side by side. How cool is that? Isn't that cool? Stop turning my tablet on. Just stop. Just stop turning my tablet on.
It's almost like it's mimicking.
It's Siri. She said, give me a minute. I'm like, shut up, Siri. Do not answer me. Would you pray for my stepsister, Dorothy? Found cancer. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we pray for Dorothy. Well, actually, we rebuke you, cancer.
Amen. Amen.
Shrivel up, remove from her body. In the name of Jesus, we're doing our part. We declare right now tonight in a dream, in a vision of the night while she's sleeping tonight, that a revelation of who God is comes to her. And that the understanding of healing comes to her tonight. And that she says, yes, I want to be healed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We declare that great courage and strength is hers. Father, give our sister Sunday the words to say from your word. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of her, and therefore, since that spirit lives inside of her, it produces life in her mortal body. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. In the mighty name of Jesus. We're not going to say anything else, except by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed, and the spirit of God that lives in her is now producing healing from the inside out. And cancer, right, we already spoke to you. Thank you, Father. Would you make that cancer just shrivel up right now?
Amen.
Shrivel it up right now. And if she doesn't feel like she has faith, help her realize she has faith. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I said we were starting at 7, and I was going to be done it in bed asleep right now. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy says it against you. Aha! Even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession under the residue of the heathen. And you're taken up in the lips of talkers and are in infamy of the people. You mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, to the cities that are forsaken. He's talking to inanimate objects here. Mm-hmm. All right? Which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. He calls the heathen residue. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, showing the fire of my jealousy, have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel. Say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valley, thus says the Lord God, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Can you imagine the ground cried out when Abel's blood landed on it? How much more the perversity and vile wickedness that these reprobates did? Thus saith the Lord, I have lifted up my hands, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches, yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. That's going on right now. Israel produces more per acre than any other nation in the world. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. Cities shall be inhabited. The way shall be builded. I will multiply on you man and beast. And they shall increase and bring forth fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Remember what Amir closed with. They say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. And they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus says the Lord God, because they say unto you, the land devours up men and has bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt deliver, I'm into King James, men no more, neither bereave the nations anymore, says the Lord God. I will cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore. Neither shall thou bear reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, says the Lord God. God is doing this because God wants to do it, and my people will never be put to shame. Oh, no, where'd I go? The Lord's concern for his own holy name. Now watch this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. God is a descriptive God. I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land, I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations. Don't miss this. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. And there's some people that think they're really something in God. I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. You profaned it in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's the regeneration. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I will take the heart of stone. If you've been a sinner and you've just been rebellious against God, God said he's going to take that heart of stone out and give you a heart of flesh. Don't hang on to the stones. Build a rock pile. Make it a beautiful garden. Amen. I'm preaching better than yourself. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. So God's saying, the people of Israel profaned his name and he scattered them all over the world. And then he said, all right, time to draw you back, but I ain't doing it for your sake. I'm doing it for my name's sake. And then he began to draw them back. That was, you know, in 48 when Israel became a nation. And now Israel is inhabited. And, of course, they've made him give up land to the PLO and give up land to the Gazans and all this stuff. And every time somebody does that, it just messes everything up everywhere, you know, and floods happen and earthquakes happen and tornadoes happen and hurricanes happen because you're telling God's people to give up their land. Don't do it. Good evening, Tracy McSwain. Good to have you with us tonight.
Tracy.
I'm in Ezekiel. That's the one. Ezekiel 36:28. You can see it right on the screen. You shall dwell in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You can cross-reference that right over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. I'll multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear reproach of famine among the nations. They never will, because Israel's got food. You will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. You will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abomination. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God. On the day that I cleanse you from all iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. They will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as a holy sacrifice, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Now, 37 is about the dry bones living again. And God said, can they live? And Ezekiel said, oh, Lord God, you know, because I don't. Ezekiel 38. This is the prophecy against Gog, Magog, Rosh, Russia, Meshach, and Tubal. Tubal is Turkey. And Gog and Magog is Iran and Iraq, I believe. Meshach. Who is Meshach? Syria, remember. Prophesy, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, the great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them. This is the coalition that you, when you and I see these nations right here, look that up. Who is modern day? Meshach and Tubal. All right. Gomer and all its troops. The house of Togarmah. Oh, Togarmah is Turkey. The Parthians and all its troops. Many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you. You're looking up who is modern day Meshach and Tubal from Ezekiel 38. Now, this is God talking to these wicked people. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you'll be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. See, there's the statement about, and they will be dwelling safely. All right? You will ascend like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. On that day, this is 38:10. On that day, the Lord God says, it shall come to pass that the thoughts will arise in your mind and you'll make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. See, there's the statement. I will go against a land of people who dwell peacefully without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, that's not where they are right now, because right now they have bars and gates. And there is a serious fence around Gaza, and there's a serious fence around Israel. And they don't have a problem protecting their borders. Don't try nothing at their border, because they won't mess around with you. They'll shoot you and drag you out back and let the crows eat your eyes. Mm-hmm. Verse 12, what's Russia going to do? Take plunder and take booty. Stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, against the people gathered from the nations who've acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You'll come up against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. It'll be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I've spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? It'll come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. You don't want God's fury showing in his face when he's looking at you. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in the day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep in the earth, all the men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now look, how do you know this? This is the day of the rapture. Right here at Ezekiel 38:20, look at this. And all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Well, that's not Jesus in heaven. That's Jesus when he comes back in the clouds and every man can see him. It says everybody on the face of the earth will see him. Can you imagine seeing Jesus and not going and being with him?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I think Tubal.
Yeah, it says here, Meshach is Moscow area. And Tubal is Turkey.
Tubal is Turkey?
Mm-hmm. Gog and Magog are Russia.
All right. And Rosh is Russia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. Well, but it's also a hook. Because God's going to put a hook in his jaw, just like you put a ring in the bull's nose, and you can control a big old huge bull by that ring in their nose. Because they don't want that pulled. Like a fish on a hook. I'll call for a sword against Gog. I'm in verse 21. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I'll bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. See, guys, you don't have to wonder what's getting ready to happen. It's right here. It's written out in plain words. Look at this verse. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on them. I mean, most of these words are one syllable. Most of these are one syllable words. You don't even have to be a scholar to understand it. Just read what's there and believe it. I will I will mega myself, make America great again, and sanctify myself. And I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And here's the thing. And he's going to go back to heaven with all of us going with him that are in the rapture. And there are still people on this earth that will not follow. Now, it just almost doesn't even seem possible. And they'll stand against you. Because you remember, the Antichrist shows up and then sets up. He first sets up in Europe, and then he wants to come and set up in Jerusalem. And he's amassing troops. And then here comes 200 million man army from China. And they meet. And the Antichrist is like, oh, wow, check out this guy. I didn't even know he existed. Huh, somebody please help me quickly.
Really quickly.
And it's something because the Antichrist never gets control of the whole world. It takes him 3.5 years just to be able to roll out the mark of the beast. So even if you're here on the earth, unless you're right where the Antichrist is in that very city, you're probably not even going to be faced with the mark of the beast until the midpoint of the tribulation. But don't miss the rapture. Don't miss the rapture. Be ready. Pray the prayer of salvation and daily learn how to walk with our God, Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's Ezekiel 38. And then Ezekiel 39 is the rest of it. However, I think you should read Ezekiel 39. But I think I should probably go get in bed and get a couple hours of sleep. What do you think? I got Ezekiel 39 here. I just keep looking at this clock.
I'll just read it on there.
Yeah. I just keep looking at this clock saying it's getting later and later and later. Yeah. And I have to be to work at
midnight.
Yeah, midnight, yeah. You gonna use this?
No, I was
just all right.
Switching around here a little bit, guys. Just give me a minute.
I really have been trying to make this happen tonight. There's so much to say. And you want me to stop my share? Yeah, amen. Yeah, we're lucky to be alive at this time. Let me just say this while Sister Land's getting set up over there. You and I are in the end of this world. And remember, we have been placed here by God. It's not an accident that you're here. These days are written in your book. Nobody's ever taught you to pay attention to the book that's written in your name in heaven. I have started to teach you that so that you can truly get an understanding of it and begin to live out your days effectively. But I want to encourage you. Don't be depressed about the last time. If all you got to do is be right with God, and you don't have to worry about all this stuff. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't know what church to go to. I don't know what Bible college I got to study at. I don't know how to do all this stuff like you. How am I ever going to do it? You don't try to do anything like I do it. Let me be an example of how to chase God. And then what you do every day when you wake up is begin to talk to God as if God was sitting right there with you, because he is. He's in you. You didn't get religion. You didn't get denomination. You didn't get a churchianity. You got the living, breathing God Almighty with Jesus, his Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they live on the inside of you. God is literally instructing you from the inside out. So you got to quit saying it's too difficult, because it's not too difficult. God is on the inside of you, and he's working mightily in you. He's working mightily in you. And he's doing wonderful things in our midst. He really is.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to have Sister Leanne read. I want you to read 39. You know, as you go through it, you might see some comments to make, whatever. Take your time. Have fun reading it. It's just...
My microphone on.
I can't hear you.
Well, we were about ready to get a serious echo situation going on. And so, you know, I really want to just stay here and do this, but I got to be to work at midnight, and that's only 2 hours and 45 minutes away. So been a good day today. Got a lot done, but sorry, we'll be all right. We know this. This is all I have to suffer for Jesus. It ain't no big deal. It ain't no big deal at all. It's no big deal. I got to come home and sleep in my own bed right in there. And that's
all right.
Wonderful.
Here we go.
And get to eat steak that my wife cooked for me.
Here we go.
Turn off your mic and turn off the video. All right.
Is your mic off?
Yep.
So I can... Okay.
Okay.
There. Well.
All right. Can you hear me?
We need somebody to answer.
Over here.
Please answer her so we know you can hear her. Say again.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Okay.
Yep. Yes. All right. I'm playing it right here on YouTube.
All right, so here we go. We're going to read, before we do communion, Ezekiel 39.
And,
oh, okay, thank you, Tracy and Sunday.
And God is going to speak to you, and you're going to enjoy the study as you go through it.
All right, here we go. Good night, Pastor.
Don't make mean faces while everybody's watching.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I got to share my screen. Picking up here. There we go. I think I'm here. My goodness.
Yes, you are.
All right. Hello, everyone. Here I am. And here we go with Ezekiel 39. And you, Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on.
Can you imagine how scared he's going to actually be when God says, hey, you. I mean, they're going to shake in their shoes.
I hope so.
I do too. I mean, I'm going to bed.
Verse 2. And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. Wow, can you imagine? Standing there and all of a sudden your bow goes flying out of your hand and then your arrows. Do it, God. 4, you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastland. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. I love it every time he says that. They shall know that I am the Lord. We're all going to be standing there going, yes, yes, show them. 7, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 8, surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest. For they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them, and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord God. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all its multitudes. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on that day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of the 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he shall set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. I think that's Hamon Gog, actually. The name of the city will also be Hamona. Thus they shall cleanse the land. And as for you, see, and when they find those bones and everything, and they put a marker by them, it's so they'll actually be able to identify the people. Much of what's happening there now, they're actually looking for bones and teeth to be able to identify some of these people so that they can notify them. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather together for all sides of my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you. a great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls. Lambs of goats and bulls, all of them fatling of Bashan. Fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full and drink blood till you are drunk at my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you. You shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men and with all the men of war, says the Lord God. I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. What a horrible thing to have laid on you, but don't be that. Because they were unfaithful to me, and therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. After they've borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Wow. Wow. And you know, I thought about this when this whole war first started, that every single reservist and military from Israel came back to Israel to fight. And it was like just what God said, they'll come from, he'll bring them back from every nation. And now all of the people that are, you know, scattered all over the earth, college students and whatever, there, it looks like they're going to all have to be coming back to Israel just to be safe, because they're marking their homes, and college students, they're being barricaded in rooms, and the other students are trying to kill them, and it's just horrible. So they may all wind up having to leave wherever they're at and going back to Israel just for safety's sake. And that's God drawing them all back. So wow, wow, wow. And all of this. And all of this. Pray, pray, pray for them to know Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, so that all of this bloodshed stops. Because the minute they all turn back to God and receive Him, well, and we know Israel is going to be saved anyway. It's just all of this atrocity that's happening in the meantime. So anyways, let's do communion. I'll read the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Starting at verse 23 anyway, we'll read the verses of the Bible, and then we'll say the prayer of salvation for anyone that is with us now or in the future that has not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please make that decision to do that now, and then you'll be free to receive communion with us too. This is serious. Jesus literally could come back at any second, and you don't want to be left on this earth after the church is raptured out of here. This is a decision that changes your life for the rest of the time on your earth, on this earth, however long that is, and for your eternity. You do not have to know everything. You do not have to be the perfect, sinless person. Those things will come after you make the decision. Holy Spirit will fill you and start changing your life and bringing understanding to you. You don't start kindergarten already knowing everything. You're going to need to know when you get into college. You enter those doors, and then you begin learning. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. These are the communion verses that talk about communion. For I received, if you haven't gotten your communion elements yet, run and get them now while I read these. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's not realizing the importance of what you're doing. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So help us be the ones to judge and realize we are sinners in need of a Savior. So here we go. Now we're going to pray. I'll share the screen so we can pray this prayer out loud together. Pray this from the very depths of your heart. And even if you have prayed this prayer 100 times, pray it again. It is, like I say, a wonderful refreshing to your spirit and soul as well. And a great reminder to say it again. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and that you died and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you just prayed that for the first time, we would like to say welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God on earth. We're so happy, happy to have you with us, because we know what a wonderful, beautiful life this changes to for you. Please get a hold of us if you have made this decision for the first time. Our contact information will be in the notes in YouTube after the program. And you can also go to our webpage, which is SamuelJCottle.com. That's the Community of Faith webpage. And our contact information is there. We have some prayers and things there too, but mostly get a hold of us if you have questions. We would love to help bring understanding to you. We have so many videos too that we could recommend for you or send you the links to that will help bring understanding to and help you know how to walk out your new life as a Christian. And now you can join us to take communion together. I'm going to share the screen again and put up the communion prayers. We'll pray over the bread first and receive it, and then we'll pray over the juice and receive it. Okay, so here we go. New covenant worship or communion. Let's pray this over the bread. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And now let's pray this out loud. This is the prayer. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. And let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you suffered for us. And we receive every gift from you with grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord. And now hold up your juice, and let's pray. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. And here's the prayer. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. by your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And let's receive the juice together. We thank you, Jesus, for your cleansing and healing blood. We receive it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful that we can receive this together every single day of the week. Thank you, Lord. Sister Phyllis, do you want to read us closing verses? Okay, I see your mic moving, but I don't hear you. That must mean you're coming through pastor's mic, so let me re-mic me and un-mic him. I'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, now can I hear you? Nope. Huh. Well, I see your mic moving. So I know you're not muted on your end. It has to be something on this side. Isn't that something? Let me see if my microphone, okay now talk.
All right, Lord, you want Ephesians or Jude or Revelation?
How about Jude and Revelation? And
okay.
And I'll read all the right. Ephesians 1 prayer when you're finished.
Okay, Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I do like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that just clears everything up so completely.
It does. Amen and amen. Night, Tracy. Thank you for being with us. And hi, Scott and Braden. I love you guys. So happy to have you with us. Okay, so to finish us up here, I'm going to read the Ephesians prayer over us. Here we go, Ephesians 1:17. We pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen and amen. Thank you all so much for being with us. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for reading for us. Thank you, Dan. And look at everybody over here besides Scott. Sunday, Richard, Tracy. Oh, I didn't see Richard here tonight. Sunday and Tracy and Scott and Braden. And the others that we don't see your names, we thank you for being here as well. We'll be back tomorrow morning for prayer time at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we hope you can join us. Have a blessed night. God bless your sleep. May you have wonderful dreams and visions that give you answers you've been seeking. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Have a great night, everybody.
Back tomorrow morning for prayer time at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we hope you can join us. Have a blessed night. God bless your sleep. And may he give you wonderful dreams and visions that give you answers you've been seeking. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Good night, everybody.